Well, good morning, church. Excited to worship with you at the Father's house on this special Father's Day. Heard about a group of expectant fathers. They were sitting in the waiting room. Their wives were in delivery, and a nurse came in, and she announced to the man that his wife had just given birth to twins. And the man said, "That's amazing." He said, I play baseball for the Minnesota Twins. Well, nurse came back in a little bit later, and she said, announced to the second man, said that you're the proud father of triplets. The guy said, "That's amazing. I work for the 3M company." Well, immediately upon hearing that, the third man in the room collapsed. He just went out. They finally got him revived, and everybody wanted to know what was wrong. And the man said, "You're not going to believe this, but I work for 7-Up company, and I'm really concerned right now. I'm going to need your help today. Let's see if you can relate to any of these statements. Have you ever said to your children, 'This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you'?" Anybody ever said that? Got a few. How about this one? "Don't make me pull this car over." Have you ever said, "If everyone else jumped off a bridge, would you?" Or my favorite, "Just wait until you have kids. I hope that they turn out just like you." If you've ever said three or more of those statements, then you're definitely a parent. And if you've made all of those statements in the last 7 days, then you probably are in need of a vacation. Parenting, it is an acquired skill. Parenting is not a skill that we're born with. It's not something that we're ever going to master. And yet I believe it's always worth the effort of being a parent. Amen? I mean, no matter how many times our kids ask why, no matter how challenging the experiences may be, we love our children. We love our children deeply. Fortunately, God gives us some instructions, and we want to apply His teaching to our everyday lives. In Exodus chapter 20, the fifth commandment deals with this parent-child relationship. And the command reminds children to honor their parents, and it also speaks to parents about living lives that are honorable. And so the commandment really speaks to both children and parents. In fact, I believe it speaks to our society, because home is where our children learn to cope with life. Home is where children learn to manage their lives responsibly. Parents, I think it's great that you teach your kids how to play sports. I think it's great to teach your kids how to change a tire on a car or how to balance a checkbook. All of those things are important. But I want to remind you that we are responsible for teaching our children who God is. We're responsible for teaching our children how they can relate with Him. A recent survey revealed that nearly all parents, 96% of parents who have children under the age of 13, 96% agree it is their responsibility to teach values to their children. And yet that same survey revealed that most parents spend absolutely no time talking about values, talking about the scriptures, religious matters. Moms and dads, whether you realize it or not, you are the skylight through which your kids get their first glimpse of God. I think it's true. You're the skylight through which your kids catch their first glimpse of the Heavenly Father. The first concept of God that a child begins to grasp, it comes through their parents. And that's an awesome responsibility. I'm thankful for Shane and our children's ministry, the loving leadership that we have in our children's ministry. But may we never forget that the primary responsibility for our children's spiritual development, it lies within our home. I've discovered that no man or woman is a failure who teaches their children to follow God. Amen? Our home should be a safe place for children to discover themselves, to learn about God. It's imperative that we not only tell our kids to follow God's ways, but we need to show them the way. It's sort of like the father and son climbing team. The son spoke to his father. His father was ahead of him, and he said, "Dad, you better choose a good path because I'm right behind you." And we know that's true. The way that we reflect God's authority in our lives, it makes a dramatic impact on whether our kids love the Lord themselves. As a pastor, doing what I do, I've discovered that God must be all important to us if we want Him to be all important to our children. But unfortunately, we teach our kids that other things are important. I think we confuse our children, we confuse our grandchildren by pandering to their every desire. We teach them to find their soul's desire in going places and doing things. We try to satisfy their lust for excitement. We give them so much, and then we hope that somewhere down the line, they're going to learn that finding a life worth living is found in knowing God and serving Him. Folks, we send so many mixed messages to our children. Church, I must tell you that God deserves our very best. Amen? But sometimes we think that if we can just work God into our life in some small way that we've done something that's right, but God deserves our best. God must be all important to you if you want Him to be all important to your children. When we look at society and we think about all the problems that we face as a nation, and there are many problems that we're dealing with as a nation, I believe the majority of our issues come from a lack of respect for authority. Folks, we live in a culture where authority is seen as something to be fought tooth and nail. And many people today, they resist authority at home. They resist authority at work, at school. Many of us, we struggle with the issue of authority in government. We live in a society that admires disobedience and rebellion. If you don't believe me, you take a notepad and put it in the living room or wherever you watch television, and you just watch news media, you watch the programs that are on, and you look at how they portray authority figures. With few exceptions, parents are portrayed as clueless morons, and teachers know better. And authority figures in our life, for the most part, we don't care for authority figures in this country. Instead, we value independence. We resent anyone who attempts to tell us what to do. And I think this disrespect of authority, I think it is a direct result of a deterioration of family values. Parents, if you can't teach your children to respect your authority, they're never going to respect the authority of anyone else. God has placed a high value on the institution of the home. And much of what we become in life, it is influenced by those early years and how we respond to the authority of our parents. It has been said that as the home goes, so goes the nation. As the home goes, so goes the church. And folks, I pray that God will help us, because our country is headed for deep trouble if we don't repent and turn back to Him. Look with me in Exodus 20:12. God said, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Now, there are two parts to that command. The first part is about children honoring parents, and the second is about parents being honorable. And we hear this command and the promise attached to it, and immediately we think, oh, if I honor my parents, then I'm going to live to be really old. But that's not what is being taught in Exodus. This promise is made to the people of Israel, and it was not that if they obeyed their parents, they wouldn't die young. Keep in mind the context of the nation of Israel. Church, the way God's special covenant relationship with Israel, the way that covenant was passed on from one generation to the next generation, it happened through the family. It was the responsibility of mom and dad to teach their kids who God was and what it meant to follow Him. And if the parents failed in that task, then the children would not honor Israel's covenant relationship with God, and life in the promised land would fall apart. The bottom line is that honoring our parents and honoring God, those two things are powerfully connected throughout the Bible. If we don't learn to do the first, if we don't learn to honor our parents, then we will never learn to do the second, which is to honor God. Before we look at what is required in honoring our parents, let's look at what's not required. This command does not require us to think that our parents are perfect. And that's a good thing, because how many of you have parents who are imperfect? We all do, right? None of us are perfect parents. None of us had perfect parents. You might note that perfection is never mentioned in the job description of a parent. Church, the truth is that imperfect authority is always preferable to anarchy where everyone does their own thing. So we're not off the hook just because our parents are imperfect. This command does not require us to believe our parents are always right. If the truth be known, sometimes our parents are flat out wrong. Sometimes our parents don't get it right. I think as parents, if we will admit our fallibility, if we will place our trust in God rather than ourselves, I think our relationship with our children will be much stronger. Another thing not required. This command does not require that our parents always act honorably. In some cases, children have been embarrassed by the actions or the lifestyles of their parents. Folks, we are not required by this command to condone or to participate in ungodly actions simply because our parents do it. We're not required to think everything that our parents do is acceptable or even honorable. And then one more thing, this command does not require that we be just like our parents. We know that children are not carbon copies of their parents, but instead, they have their own mind, their own will. And our job as parents is to guide them according to the principles of God's word. Our task is to lead them to make godly decisions. And these are just some of the things that we are not required to do in honoring our parents. But what does it mean to honor our father and mother? What is required of honoring our parents? Well, that word honor comes from a Hebrew word that literally means to be heavy or weighty. Honoring our parents means that we give great weight or importance to them. We are to hold our moms and dads in high esteem. We're to treat them as people who have profound value. Honoring our parents means that we acknowledge their position of honor in our life. It means that we carefully listen to their instructions and that we are faithful to guard their reputations. I want to pause for just a moment. I want to ask you, do you honor your parents? And let me give you some things to consider. How do you talk to your parents? Does the way that you talk to them, does that show honor, respect, and value? How about the way that you talk about your parents? Friends, the words that we use ultimately describe what we think about our parents. What sort of language do you use? Are you embarrassed to be around your mom or your dad? Do you join the crowd of others who insult their parents just so that you feel part of the group? Or do you honor your parents, even though you don't like some of the things that they do? Church, we may not always agree with our folks. We may not always agree with their actions, but we have an obligation to give them respect. And I believe parents have a certain amount of respect granted to them simply because of their position, a position that is granted by God. If you are a parent, how do you get your kids to live by this command? Well, obviously, you have to do more than just quote this fifth commandment over and over to them. I believe our kids learn about honoring us by watching how we respond to the authority figures in our own lives. Perhaps the primary way that we teach our kids about honor is how we respond to our own parents. And if we're constantly bad-mouthing our parents in front of our kids, then we are modeling how they should relate to us when they are grown. We even model for our kids proper respect for authority by how we respond to national leaders. If our kids hear us say derogatory things about our president or other leaders, whether they deserve them or not, it affects the way that our kids respond to authority. And I'm afraid our own lack of respect for leaders is raising a generation of cynical adults. We respond to authority figures the way we do that in front of our children. We are teaching them how to live this command. David Simmons was a cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys, and he gave testimony of his childhood home. His father was extremely demanding, rarely saying a kind word, always pushing him with harsh criticism to do better. When Dave was a little boy, his dad gave him an unassembled bicycle and said, "Go figure it out. Go put it together." Well, as a small kid, he couldn't follow the instructions. He couldn't put the bike together, so his father said, "I knew you couldn't do it. I knew you couldn't handle it." When Dave played high school football, his father was unrelenting in his criticism. After every game, his dad would go over every play, and he would point out Dave's mistakes. David said, "You know, most guys got butterflies before the game." He said, "I got them after the game." He said, "Facing my dad after the game, what was worse than any opponent that I ever played against." By the time Dave entered college, he hated his father, and he chose to play football at the University of Georgia. The reason, that was the school who offered him a scholarship that was farthest from home. So that's where he went. After college, Dave was a second-round draft pick for the St. Louis Cardinals. Joe Namath was the team's first pick. Dave said, I called my dad to tell him the good news. Dad, I got drafted. His dad responded by saying, how does it feel to be second? Despite the hateful feelings that he had for his father, David began to build a bridge with his dad. He had come to know Christ during college, and God's love made Dave turn back to his father. During home visits, Dave spoke and listened with interest to what his father had to say. He learned for the first time what his grandfather had been like, a tough lumberjack who was known for his quick temper. Dave learned that once his grandfather had gotten mad at the truck because the truck wouldn't start, and so his grandfather took a sledgehammer and beat the snot out of the truck. His grandfather often beat Dave's dad, and this new awareness, it affected Dave dramatically. Dave said, knowing about my father's upbringing not only made me more sympathetic for him, but he says it helped me understand the circumstances. And knowing that because of the way that my dad was treated, that he could have done much worse. And so by the time Dave's dad died, Dave said, I could honestly say that my dad and I were friends. And church, I think that is a powerful story because there are many who find it very difficult to honor and respect their parents. And yet the Bible tells us to honor them. And I think that's where this commandment becomes so difficult. You see, it's easy to honor parents who have loved us. It's easy to respect those who have nurtured us. It's easy to honor parents who have shown us, who've been there faithfully when we're hurting, who raised us in a home that taught discipline in a godly manner. Those parents are easy to love, respect, and show honor. But what do we do with a parent who is emotionally or physically or sexually abused their children? How do you honor them when deep in your soul you hate what they did to you? Friend, the abuse of authority, using the trust that God has placed in a parent for their own gain and satisfaction, abuse is a horrendous sin. And I believe God will call those people to account for their actions. But for some of you, the struggle with the past, or maybe it's a struggle with the present, it's still very real. And you hear those words, honor your parents, and there are all kinds of red lights that just start flashing. While the Bible clearly commands that you must honor them, the thing I assure you is that God weeps with you in the midst of your pain. Abuse is definitely a perversion of God's will. Friend, abuse is never what God intended. It's not what He wants for you. And although there are no simple cures to a painful childhood, the biblical pattern for recovery, it always begins with honesty. As long as you refuse to admit your feelings, the journey back to health, it will not proceed very far. There has to be honesty with God. There has to be honesty with yourself about what happened. How do you handle the bruises, the unrealized dreams, the fear, the self-doubt? Well, you don't stuff the pain away. You don't pretend it didn't happen, but instead you must admit it and you must allow yourself to feel emotions. Find a believer in Christ and share your struggles. Christian counseling may give you the courage to face the anger and the fears. It may help you face the lies and the hurts that have been forced upon you. One of the most difficult things to do is to forgive someone of the abuses that have shaped us into the people that we are today. Forgiveness, it is the cure to let go of the past. And friend, we can and we must forgive, and we can do so only because we have experienced the great forgiveness that we find in Christ. Friend, this command never says that you have to bow down to an abusive parent. You don't have to stand for what they've done to you. You don't have to say that it's okay, because it's not. But you are called to honor them. And honoring them doesn't mean you have to like them. Honoring your parent doesn't mean that you want to spend every holiday with them. Honoring your parent simply means this: you don't shame them. You don't take cheap shots at them by humiliating them. You may know all about their weaknesses, but it is dishonoring for you to use their failings as ammunition against them. You don't have to condone their actions, but friend, you can learn from them what is right and what is wrong. I want you to know this. I want you to know that you don't have to do life alone. Now, the Bible teaches that there is one who possesses ultimate authority. He has complete power, and yet he never abuses it. God never betrays our trust. He never degrades us. He never cops out on a promise or a commitment. Now, our Lord is faithful. He is the one the Bible describes as a perfect heavenly Father. Friend, God loves perfectly, and He loves us in a way that we can always count on. He loves in a way that we can always reach out to and trust. Beloved, do you want to know God as your heavenly Father? Have you made an intentional decision to turn away from sin and to put your trust in Christ? The message of the gospel is really simple. The bad news is that you are separated from God because of your sin. The good news is that God so loved you that He sent His one and only Son to die in your place as a substitute for your sins on Calvary's cross. God wants you to turn from your sin. He wants you to turn from your ways and to put your trust in Him. Friend, right where you are today, would you say to Him, Jesus, just as you gave your life for me, now I give my life for you. Because you died for me, empower me to live for you. God, forgive me of my sins and make me new. Friend, I hope that you will turn to Him today. Honoring our parents can sometimes be easy. And at other times, it can be one of the most demanding tasks that we do. You know, God doesn't always ask us to do easy things, but He does call us to honor and to give weight to our parents. You say, Jason, what does that look like? How do we honor our parents? Well, let me give you just a few parental proverbs. The first is this, that we need to live righteously. Proverbs 23:24 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who has a wise son will be glad in him." It's a picture of parents who are proud of their children. Why? Because their children are living a wise life, a moral life. Righteous living, it comes only from living a life that is in tune with God. Friend, we honor our parents as we live in a right relationship with God. We honor our parents when we love graciously. Proverbs 19:26 says, "He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son." You know, children used to work the farm of their parents until their parents died, and then they would take over the farm. But nowadays, what you see is that children, they kick their parents off their farm, and they take the farm for themselves. And folks, it's wrong to exploit our parents. Well, we have a responsibility to protect them. It seems that the older our parents get, the more vulnerable they become. It is estimated that every year, senior adults in our country get scammed for over $40 million. So we have a responsibility to protect, to watch out for our parents, live righteously, love graciously, and we are to speak lovingly. Proverbs 20:20 says, "He who curses his father, his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness." This picture of a lamp going out in Proverbs, it's the idea of a person's life being cut short. Friend, if you embrace a lifestyle of dishonor and contempt for your parents, then your own life may be at risk. Live righteously. Love graciously. Speak lovingly. And a fourth way that we honor our parents is when we listen attentively. Proverbs 23:22. Says, "Listen to your father and do not despise your mother when she is old." And that word listen, it means to pay attention. You see, more than our assistance and more than our advice, our parents want our attention. And as they age, we need to make every effort to stay in touch with them. We need to listen to their stories. Yes, even when they repeat the same stories over and over again, we need to listen attentively and respectfully. I heard about a very old man. His eyes had grown dim, his ears deaf, his knees shook. When he sat down at the table to eat, he could hardly hold a spoon. He would spill the soup all over the tablecloth and all down the front of him. And so, disgusted by all of this, the son made the old man sit in the corner behind the stove. The grandfather, he sat by himself at the table while his eyes grew moist. One day as he was eating, his shaking hands, they could not hold the bowl, and so when he dropped the bowl, it naturally shattered on the floor. And the young woman, she scolded him, but he said not a word. He sobbed, tears running down his face. After this, they bought him a wooden bowl and made him eat from the wooden bowl. One time during lunch, the four-year-old began taking some pieces of wood and pushing them together on the floor. And the father said, "What are you making?" And the little boy said, "Oh, I'm making a little trough for you and mom to eat out of when I get big." The man and woman looked at one another and they began to cry. Immediately, they realized what they had been doing. The way that they were treating the grandfather was teaching the son how to treat them as they matured in life. Immediately, they brought the grandfather back to the table. They let him eat with them, and when he spilled, they said not a word. We need to honor our parents, because as we honor them, we are showing honor to God. And as we honor our parents, we're modeling for our own children how we ourselves one day want to be honored as parents. Depending on our stage of life and theirs, the honor we give our parents, it'll take different forms. It comes through our obedience when we're young. It comes through living righteously when we're mature. And it comes through caring for our parents as they get older. As sons and daughters, we're to honor our moms and dads. And so parents, you might want to come to the altar today and pray that God will give you strength and wisdom as you show care for your parents as they age. And then as fathers and mothers, we're to live lives that are honorable. Perhaps you want to come this morning and you want to pray that you will be the parent that God wants you to be. Maybe you want to come and pray for your children, your grandchildren. Remember, if you want God to be all important to your children, then He must be all important to you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we know that being a parent is one of the most difficult challenges that we are granted. But what a blessing it is. And Father, we know that we need Your help. We need inside help. We need Your Holy Spirit within us, guiding us, shaping us, as we try to navigate, lead our children to You. God, I pray that You would help every mother and father who seek to bring their children up in the admonition of the Lord. That, Father, You would meet our every need. God, I pray that You would help us not just to honor our parents, but, God, that You would help us to live lives that are honorable. That, Father, we would live righteously. We would follow the guidelines that are in the Scriptures. Father, continue to mold and shape us, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask you.